Leviticus 25 and verse number 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." This is Pastor Wynn Greer welcoming you today to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. This is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. I'm thankful to be the pastor there, and I appreciate the support of the church in this important ministry to try to get the Word of God out, the truth out in these last days in which we live. And we are soon coming up on our 3-year anniversary at the Blessings of Liberty. It'll be the July 4th, the week of the 4th. It'll be 3 years we've been on the air, and I appreciate the opportunity to do that. And we hope and pray that it makes a difference, and I believe in some ways that it has. And I want to take just a moment to invite you to come and be with us. If you do not have a church home, Mount Lebanon Baptist Church is located 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road. That is just off Highway 105 South, going out of Boone. I think we're about 3 miles outside the city limits. Baird's Creek Road turns back to the right. We're just above the Willow Creek Golf Course. Many of you know where that is. And if you don't have a church home or you're visiting in the area, we'd love for you to come to be with us and visit with us in our services. We have Sunday school at 10 a.m. for all ages. And then at 11 a.m. we have our Sunday morning worship service and preaching time. And Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. we have our Wednesday night prayer and Bible study. And so you can call us at the church phone number, go to our church website, mountlebanonbc.org. You can find out about services and times and directions and all of those things. But I want to say good morning to you today. I appreciate you listening in. I'm also going to say good morning to my son, Noah. He produces the radio broadcast, and he has been faithful to come for the majority of these past 3 years. And started just coming and watching, and now that seems like it's been longer than that, doesn't it?
It does. It's a long time ago.
Seems like it, but it really wasn't.
But
Noah's been coming, and he got interested and started doing what Dave Blank started out doing for me. And so he comes very faithfully and does that, and I appreciate it. You go ahead and welcome our listeners today.
And I enjoy it. And we want to say welcome to all the listeners, those listening in right here on AM 1450 WATA, and also those who listen in on AM 690 in Bristol, Virginia.
We do appreciate our listeners, and we're going to get right into the subject matter that we've been looking at. We're taking a little summertime break from what we normally look at, although this goes right in line with the Blessings of Liberty. We've been talking about America. We've been talking about what has come to be known as the Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 10 prophecy. Some of you may have heard of the book by Jonathan Cahn named The Harbinger. And The Harbinger is a fictional story, but this pastor, he takes the book of Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 10 specifically, and he talks about how that is a sign to America. What happened to ancient Israel has happened in America. And I'll just go ahead and read those verses just by way of introduction today. But Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 10, the Bible says, "The bricks are fallen down, but we will build with hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedars." And on September the 12th, 2001, Tom Daschle, at the time, he was the Senate Majority Leader, and he came out and gave a joint resolution concerning the attacks on America. And he said, "I know that there is only the smallest measure of inspiration that can be taken from this devastation, but there is a passage in the Bible from Isaiah that I think speaks to us at times like this." And he reads or quotes from Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 10. And we've taken the past 2 weeks and talked about how Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 10, it's not it might seem fitting on the surface, But actually, Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 10 is pronouncing the judgment of God upon a nation that has turned its back upon the Lord. And now we've already said America is not Israel and Israel is not America, although there are many parallels between the two. But we can say today that America was founded as a Christian nation. And for that reason, when we look in the Bible and we think about America, we think about how God deals with different nations according to their righteousness and according to how they treat the children of Israel or the nation of Israel now. And so when we see that and recognize that, then we draw the parallels between what God says about a righteous and an unrighteous nation. America was founded as a Christian nation. From the Pilgrims and the Mayflower Compact, I talked about that before. Our founders, the Declaration of Independence uses or refers to God four times specifically. He's the Creator. He's the Supreme Judge. He has given us our rights and our liberties, and they got these ideas about freedom and liberty from the Bible. Our Constitution is a Christian document. And what I mean by that, it's based upon the principles of the Bible, although the Bible is not referred to in the Constitution. But they certainly drew their inspiration from the Word of God, the different state constitutions. Do you know that the Constitution of the state of North Carolina today, I'm talking about not when it was written, but now, says that a person cannot hold elected office in North Carolina if they're an atheist, if they do not believe in the God of the Bible. That is still in the state constitution. Find it and look it up. It's interesting. The first colleges in America, Harvard, Yale, Brown, these Ivy League schools today that really don't want anything to do with God, well, they were first established as institutions to prepare men to go into the ministry. You have to be the worst kind of denier to deny God's handprint upon America. But in America, we have moved from being a Christian nation to a post-Christian nation, and now we have quickly, in the past several years, we are now what I would consider almost an anti-Christian nation. Just look at what you see going on in the world, in America today, the news, read the newspaper. You'll find that there is much antagonism towards the Bible, the church, the people in the churches, the pastors in the churches. There's a lot of antagonism and kickback, and people look at it like they just as soon get rid of any thing that points out the Bible, the Word of God, Jesus Christ. We are living today in an anti-Christian nation. We think about the election that will come up this fall and what we are faced with as far as a choice. Now, if something doesn't change, we're either going to have to choose for a president, a man who claims to be a Christian, but he really has more sympathy toward the Muslims than he does the Christians. I mean, about everything he does is against the Bible. He's come out for same-sex marriage, for homosexual marriage. Well, you can't get any more anti-Bible than that. He may say in name that he's a Christian, but certainly his actions, his words, and I'm not just being mean in saying that. I have his book at home, The Audacity of Hope, I believe is the title of it. It came out about the time that he was running for president. But anyway, he's got a chapter in there on faith. I've read that chapter. His faith would not measure up to what the Bible says a person needs to know in order to be truly born again and know that they have a home in heaven. So here's a man who claims to be a Christian in name, yet he's more friendly to the Muslims. Do you know the other day I seen a video, and it was on YouTube, and a Christian pastor had posted it on there, and he said, you know, you may not want to watch this. Well, after I did, I wish that I wouldn't have. But it was in Tunisia, and these Muslims had a young Christian man. He's probably about 30 years old, and they're trying to get him to recant of his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he wouldn't recant. And so they are, you know, going on in their Arabic language, and of course I couldn't understand, but just I'd hear Allah and Islam and Akbar and something like that. It explained what they were saying. They were saying death to the infidels, and it showed on that video these Muslims that they took a knife and cut the man's head off. And after I seen it, how I wished that I had not watched that. But that we have a president now that is more friendly towards that than he is Christianity. And so we've got a choice between that and a man who's a Mormon. And I like the Mormons. I love the Mormons. I don't have a problem with them as individuals. We lived among Mormons when I lived in the state of Idaho. But Mormonism is not Christianity. But Christians do not have a choice in this election. I said all that to say that. And so we are living in a anti-Christian country. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 9 in verse number 17, it says, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. And do you know what? That includes our nation as well. If the nation of America forgets God, we will go the way of all the rest of the nations that have forgotten God. Now, in Isaiah chapter 5, I want to read a few verses over there. Isaiah chapter 5 in verses 1 and 2. We're going to see over there what the Lord says about the nation of Israel and see if we can draw some comparisons between Israel and America. And it said in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 1, now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. And so God is talking about the nation of Israel. There are certain blessings and benefits that God bestows upon the nation of Israel. He calls the nation of Israel my well-beloved. The nation of Israel, God founded the nation of Israel. Israel is God's choice possession. He talks about a song. He said, I will sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved. And so God has rejoiced in the past in the nation of Israel, a nation that was founded for the glory of God. Verse number 1, he talks about the vineyard. My beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. The nation of Israel, talking about the blessings that God had given to the nation of Israel. Verse number 2, he said this about Israel, and he fenced it. That means that God put a hedge of protection around the nation of Israel. He fenced it. Then it says, and gathered out the stones thereof. He took care of this nation. He cultivated this nation. He brought it to a place of prosperity. Do you know when our pilgrim forefathers came to America, they likened it unto a wilderness? But oh, how God has blessed the nation of America down through the years. And it went on in chapter 5, verse 2. It said, he planted it with the choicest vine and built a tower in the midst of it. Now, you put a tower in a vineyard to watch over it. And so we could talk about how God has watched over America in the past. And he said, not only did he put a tower in the midst of it, and also made a wine press therein, and he looked that it should bring forth grapes. And so he put a wine press in his vineyard, and that speaks of industry and invention and blessing in the nation. But the last part of verse number 2, the Bible said, he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. And we could say right there that there was disappointment in the vineyard. Then, one writer, maybe even the Scofield Bible or one of the commentaries I was looking at, said about Isaiah chapter number 5 that it was a sort of funeral dirge about the nation. Now, God sent Isaiah to call the nation back. The nation would not be called back. They went, they didn't even get close to coming back to God. They went farther away from the Lord, just like we've seen happen in America today. We have been blessed. We have enjoyed the benefits and the blessings of God. God has been so good to us. How disappointing the nation of America must be before the Lord. And so we look on down in Isaiah chapter 5 in verse number 3, and we're going to see what God does to get their attention. God does something to get the attention of the nation of Israel. It said, "And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes." God said, I couldn't have done anything else that had been done to change their direction. And so he says in verse number 5, he said, "And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof." God said, what I'll do to the nation that turns its back on me, I'll take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. And so you ought to underline that in your Bible, or highlight that in your Bible if you've got one near you. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 5. What will God do to the nation that turns away from him? He said, I will take away the hedge thereof. Now that literally happened in the nation of Israel. There's a book that I have. It's called Haley's Bible Handbook. And he talks about what this is talking about in Isaiah chapter 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. And he refers to it as the Galilean captivity. It is hardly a blimp, a blip. On the historical radar. I mean, there's just a little time period. It actually happened in 734, 732 BC, and there was a mini invasion by the Assyrians into Israel. They broke the wall down. They came in like a flood. They carried away people captive, and there was a pile of rubble left, and there was destruction left. And what happened was, in order to shock the nation of Israel, in order to warn the nation of Israel, God took the hedge away, the hedge of protection away from Israel. The Bible says in Proverbs 21, in verse number 31, it says, "The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord." Do you know you can do everything under the sun to ensure your safety or the safety of a nation? But if God does not keep us safe, we will not be safe. And so the Bible teaches this. The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. You know, back several weeks ago in the month of May, I went to the Oklahoma City Memorial. I was out in Oklahoma, and I preached a meeting out there for one of my good friends, Pastor Mark Hodges and the Emmanuel Baptist Church. But after the meeting was over, we had a day to sort of sightsee and look around, and he took me to the Oklahoma City Memorial, where the bombing took place, the Alfred P. Murrah Building. And so there's a museum there, and we went through the museum, and they had a display. One of the first things you were introduced to when you went into the museum there was a display of all the incidents of homegrown terrorism in America. And to be honest, it was pretty lame. We were sitting there reading over what had happened here and there, and Preacher Mark said to me that we were reading over the different examples that they had. You know, there were things on there I'd never even heard of. I think there were only four or five examples of homegrown terrorism in America. And what I'm saying is, comparatively speaking, in America, we've had nothing that we've had to deal with compared to the other nations in the world. I was in the military, the United States Air Force, and when I lived in England, they were continually warning us and telling us that if we went to London, maybe for a weekend pass or something like that, if we went sightseeing around England, to be careful. There was the IRA terrorists. There were car bombs in the 80s and the early 90s, and you didn't want to advertise anywhere that you went that you were in America. It was a common occurrence for terrorism to strike in the country of England. Or think about living in Israel, where every day you would have to think of, if you went down to get on a bus, I wonder if somebody, some Muslim, is going to get on here with a backpack and blow us all to pieces. Our domestic terrorism in America is next to nothing compared to the other nations in the world. And it's the same with our foreign enemies attacking us. We have never been invaded. Ever since the Revolutionary War, America has never been invaded. You think about World War One, World War Two, Korea, Vietnam, all this fighting in Iraq and Afghanistan, and you know, America has never been invaded. We've never been overrun by any other nation in all of our history. Now, we were attacked at Pearl Harbor, I recognize that, but we were not invaded. We've never been bombed like other nations have had to endure bombings, you know, from an enemy that would fly over with planes. And I know when we were in London one time, we went to the museum there, and they had a display about how it was to live in London during World War II, and the Germans would come over and they would bomb the city of London, and they had to get down in bomb shelters. And they even had one set up there, you know, a simulated, and you would go into this dark room and set along the wall, and it smelled damp and musty, and they'd really done a good job to simulate what it would be like, and you'd hear sirens and lights flashing, and then the room would shake. Well, we've never had to experience anything like that in America. No one knows the term of the war-torn region of North Carolina or Virginia or Tennessee, or none of us have had to think about living in occupied territory like in other nations. And we've been able to go and travel and just enjoy the blessings of God down through the history of America. When I was a little boy and we'd go on vacation, we never worried about terrorism. We never worried about being attacked by enemies. But 9/11 changed all of that. No matter if you believe the, and I might talk a little bit like about this in the days ahead, but it really doesn't matter if you believe the official 9/11 report or if you believe the conspiracy theories, either in all or in part, concerning 9/11, because what it boils down to is that God allowed it to happen. And when God allowed 9/11 to happen, He took away the hedge. We had been blessed and protected by God in down through all the years of our history. You think about how God has protected the United States of America, but He took away the hedge on September 11th, 2001, Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 10 came to America. And I'm going to read that verse again. The bricks are falling down, but we will build with hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedars. The nation with the greatest military strength in all the world, in spite of all of our technology, in spite of all of our readiness, God took away the hedge. And on September 11th, 2001, do you know, I was reading a book about that and studying about this. Do you know, on the morning of September the 11th, the entire United States mainland was protected by 14 planes spread out over 7 different bases. We had been lifted up in our pride. We had let our guard down. We have thought that we were invincible and nobody could attack us and hurt us. But I'll tell you, on September 11th, 2001, judgment came to America, and God allowed our enemy to use our own planes and our own people, and they struck the very area of our country that stands for all of our power and all of our prosperity and all of our prestige. There's probably nowhere in America that stands for all of those things more than the Twin Towers. I mean, that's the commerce hub of the world. And it not only affected our nations, but I forget exactly, there were, I want to say, about 60 or 70 different nationalities that were represented in the death totals that took place in the world, the Twin Towers there. But you talk about a slap in the face to a nation. 9/11 should have woken us up and caused us to set up and pay attention. You couldn't have scripted something happening to a prideful nation other than that, that had such a great effect upon us. And you know what? In a certain respect, it was scripted, because, as I said last week, the very things that we read about in Isaiah chapter number 9 and verse number 10 happened and have taken place in New York City in the 10.5 years since 9/11. The bricks are falling down, but we will build with hewn stones. They went into the mountains in New York, brought a stone out of the mountain. They sculpted it. They engraved it. They laid it as the cornerstone, and they made speeches that said just what it says here in the Bible. We will build with hewn stones. We're going to build bigger. We're going to build better. We're going to build greater than we were before. The sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedars. There was a sycamore tree at the base of the Twin Towers. It was destroyed, uprooted, overturned. And they plucked that sycamore tree up, moved it down the street, made a monument out of it. And in the time since then, somebody dedicated a cedar tree. They had a memorial service, put it in the exact spot that that sycamore tree had fallen in. So that's what I say. Isaiah chapter number 9 and verse number 10 has taken place in America since then. Well, it goes on down, and it says, therefore the Lord shall set up the adversaries of Rezin against him and join his enemies together. Now, Lord willing, next week we'll talk about these enemies just a little bit, but I'll go ahead and say this. Do you know the same enemies that ancient Israel had come against them are now the same enemies that are still coming against them, and also our enemies here in America? You study out the land of ancient Israel is modern day Iraq. These things are very, very interesting. Well, God said to the nation that turns away from him, he said, I'll take away the hedge thereof. I'll take the protection away. Ezekiel 22 and verse number 30, the Bible says, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. We need some today who will come along and stand in the hedge for America and pray for our great nation once again and call us back to God. We're in a mess in our nation, and oh, how we need to pray for the United States of America. Well, I hope first and foremost that you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior and the free pardon of sin that he offers by grace through faith. Thank you for listening. Hope you have a great week, and God bless.
This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to reach us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website, mountlebanonbc.org. That's mtlebanonbc.org. This has been Blessings of Liberty on AM 1450 WATA. Boom.